In chapter number one tonight, and we're going to begin to finish chapter number one. We have four verses remaining, and I say begin because we're not going to finish all of it tonight, because I don't want to try to cram all of it in tonight. I have three words, and I have at least three thoughts under each word. Five thoughts under one word, and so we're going to look at one word tonight, and we'll begin to finish Philippians chapter number one tonight. I want to read the four verses that are remaining in Philippians chapter number one, and then I want us to go back just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter number four and read a little bit as well. Philippians 1, we'll begin reading in verse 27. The Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me." So I want to speak to us tonight, and probably next Sunday night and the following Sunday night as well. I want to speak to us just on this subject. It's one word, and we find it in the text, and it's the word together. It's the word together. And I want us to look at three words. We're going to look at the word stand. We are to stand together. We are to strive together. And we are to suffer together. And all three of those words are borne out, all three of those truths are borne out in these four verses. We are to stand together, and we are to strive together, and we are to suffer together. I want you to back up to Ephesians chapter number four as we think of this word together. We know what together means, or at least we have an idea in our minds of what it means. It means as a group, it means jointly, it means in harmony and coherence. It means as one. That's what the word together means. Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 11. We'll read down through verse 16. The Bible says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." By the way, let me back up just for a moment in verse number 11. And let me share something with you. As much as you might think about your church and your church family during a week, I can guarantee you that your pastor thinks about it probably a million times more than you do, because he lives it and his family lives it, and he is constantly thinking about his church family. By the way, I didn't say his church because it's not his church. It's Christ's church. But he's constantly thinking about his church family. He's constantly thinking about the direction of his church family. He's constantly thinking about, are we doing what's right? Are we staying true to the Word of God? And the Bible says here, the Apostle Paul, he says that God in the body, in the local church, has given these individuals for a reason. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry. It's for the edifying of the body of Christ. By the way, any pastor who doesn't constantly think about Christ and constantly think about his church family, he ought not be a pastor. He ought go do something else. because apparently he could do something else. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Here we go. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ is our measuring stick, isn't he? It's not another man. It's not the pastor. It's not a Sunday school teacher. It's Christ. Christ is our measuring stick. We mentioned this last Sunday. God is always the goal. And when we begin to make something else the goal, we will do anything to reach that goal. No, God is the goal. That we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, speaking of Christ, in all things which is the head, even Christ. In verse 16, we've looked at this verse before, but I want to bring us here because we're talking about the word together. And the Bible says here in verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined how? Together. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 speaks about the members of the body. And how every member has been given a gift and every member has a responsibility and a part. And the reason for that is so that the body or every member in every part will supply that which the body needs. And he says, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every what? Part. In every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so in the local New Testament church body, every member makes up that body. Christ is the head, right? Christ is the head. Again, not the pastor. Christ is the head. And every member in that local New Testament church makes up the body in that local New Testament church, and every member has to do its part for the body to function effectively. Right? Makes perfect sense. If we think about the human body, it's good to have all the parts, isn't it? Now, sometimes people don't. People have a foot amputated, or maybe they have a couple fingers gone. Work in a sawmill, and maybe they have three fingers left, you know? Or y'all can smile. This will go a lot better tonight if y'all smile and help me out a little bit, and we might get out before 7. Every part is good, right? It's good. Yes, somebody said yes. Every part is good. So let me ask you tonight, if every part isn't involved, then is the body functioning as effectively as it should be? Now, that's why we're supposed to be together. And we are to stand together, and we are to strive together, and we suffer together. Okay, it's not, and you know, people make this statement sometimes. They say 10% of the people in the church do 90% of the work. I'm thankful that's not true here. By the way, it shouldn't be true. It should never be true, should it? No. It should never be true. Now, sometimes that is true in some churches. By the way, sometimes that's the fault of the pastor, and sometimes that's the fault of the members because they're just not doing their part. If you're not here, you can't fulfill your part. You say, well, Pastor, everything that happens in the church doesn't just happen here. I understand that, right? I understand that. A lot of what happens in the church ought to happen outside of these walls. But if I'm not here, I'm not fulfilling my part. And I am not together with my local New Testament church. Sometimes it amazes me in churches that I've been in growing up and even before the Lord called me to pastor in churches that my wife and I were able to be in as a couple. It amazed me that people would come to church once a month and they, for the life of them, could not understand why they couldn't do certain things. It's kind of common sense, isn't it? It makes sense in the business world. When I was in junior high school, ninth grade, playing on the junior high basketball team, we had about 5 games before Christmas. Our schedule was very light before Christmas and after Christmas break. That's when most of our games were. Before Christmas, I started. I was in the starting 5. Christmas break came. There were 3 practices that I didn't get to go to because we were at my grandparents' house. You know, the funny thing is, after Christmas break and we came back, I didn't start the next game. But Pastor, you had a legitimate excuse. You were at your grandparents'. Yeah. But you know what the coach said? You don't practice, you're not starting. If you're not here for the practice, and it took a couple more games before I was able to get back in. Because why? Because I missed practice. So if you're not here for practice, you're not going to start. And by the way, as a ninth grader, that made perfect sense to me. I didn't like it because I felt like I had a legitimate excuse, but I understood it even as a ninth grader. Well, why don't we understand it as the church? That the pastor's supposed to be there, and the Sunday school teachers are supposed to be there, and the deacons are supposed to be there, but it's okay if I'm not there. It's not okay, because you're part of the body. And if you're not here, the body isn't functioning as effectively as it could. And the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And notice what it says, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. It edifies itself when every member is doing that which it is supposed to do. And so I want us to think about that. When you think about that word together, every member works together effectively, supplying that which every joint needs and which every member and every part is supposed to supply so that it works effectively. So tonight, let's look at this, that we are simply tonight, we are to stand together. Okay, notice what the Bible says in Philippians 1, again, verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we have 2 of our words there, verse 27, but we're only going to look at 1 of them tonight, and it's this: we are to stand together. We're to stand strong together. We're to stand as a united front. Hey, parents in here tonight, if you have kids and you want to discipline those kids appropriately, you and your husband better stand together as a united front. But let me back up just a step. Where should that united front come from? It should come from the Word. We should stand united based upon the Word of God. And that's no different in the church. When we say stand, we're saying that we're going to stand together based upon what the Bible says. It's not going to be Brother Steve taking a strong stand on this issue that the Bible speaks about, and then everybody else over here, well, hey, go, Brother Steve, go! You do it, Brother Steve! You stand strong for that! But I'm just going to kind of hang back here because I don't know if I agree with you or not. Listen, if the Bible says it, we ought to agree with it. If the Bible says it, we ought to agree with it. And we ought to stand strong. He says here, and we'll get to this in just a moment, He says we're to stand fast in what? One Spirit. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. Don't we all have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit isn't divided. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell you that one part of the Scripture says this, and He doesn't tell me that that same Scripture says something different. No, He leads us, the Bible says, into all truth. Now, does the Spirit direct us in different ways sometimes? Sure. But it all comes back to the Bible. And we always square it up with the Bible. The Spirit, hopefully one of these days, is going to lead these three young men to find three young ladies. One each. Right? One each. Andrew's looking at me like, So you don't even need to talk about that. One lady each. Right? If they will listen to the Word and they will follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, they'll get it right. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you, it's not going to tell Roma and tell me to marry the same lady. Right? And I can square that up with the Word of God. Right? So we're to stand fast in one Spirit. But what's the word I want to use here? But the grounds upon which we stand together is the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not somebody else's opinion. It's the Word of God. And so we are to stand together, a united front, standing strong on the Word of God. Let me give you three thoughts here on this idea of standing together. And we find it right here in Philippians 1:27. First of all, together as a church, as a people, as a local New Testament body, our conversation should shine. Our conversation should shine. Look what it says there in verse 27. Only let your conversation. Now, again, many times in the New Testament, that word conversation isn't just necessarily speaking about the words that we speak. It's speaking about the conduct of our life, how we live our lives. And so he says, only let your conversation. Hey, church at Philippi, only let your conversation be as it what? What's the word there? Becometh the gospel. The gospel, and not just any gospel, but the gospel of Christ. And so first of all tonight, as we think about this idea of standing together, our conversation, our conduct of life as a group should shine. And it should shine forth. This is going to make a lot of sense, but we'll come back to it. But it should shine, as Matthew chapter number 5, our theme verses for this year. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, the Bible says here that our conversation should become the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, there are some things that are becoming as a Christian and some things that aren't becoming, aren't appropriate, aren't, what's a good word? Somebody help me. The word becoming. Okay, appropriate. Fitting? Fitting's a good word. It's not fitting of a Christian, but more he's real specific right here. He says the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the conduct of my life ought to be fitting of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We spoke about that this morning. We ought to be prepared to meet God. And God has made the way for us to be prepared, and it's through, very simply, through faith in the finished work of Christ. It's when His righteousness is applied to my life. Okay, there's a lot in that, isn't there? And the Bible says here, Paul says here to the church at Philippi, your lives, you ought to stand together and your lives ought to shine forth what Christ has done for you through His gospel. That's a lot, isn't it? He deserves for me to live in light of what He's done for me. And He deserves for me to live in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Could I show you just a couple of passages? Maybe this will help us a little bit. Would you turn to Romans chapter 12? You know the verse. So number one tonight, as we think about standing together, and don't miss this. This is for all of us. All of us. Not just for Brother Roma because he's a Sunday school teacher. Not just for Brother Steve because he leads the music. Not just for Brother Jackie because he's a deacon. Not just for Brother Adam because he's a choir member. This is all of us tonight. Well, I just don't have the same convictions as the pastor does. It's a bad statement. Because all of our convictions ought to be based upon God's Word. Now, are there different ways that we carry out those convictions that might be different? Absolutely. And I agree with that. But what God's Word says is true. And so the convictions based upon the Word of God ought to be the same for all of us. Now, sometimes how we protect those convictions and how we carry out those convictions are going to be a little different. And I understand that tonight. But the conviction ought to be the same. Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah go to Babylon along with many of their other compatriots. They had all been taught the same thing. They should have all had the same convictions. Right? But only four of them stood together on those convictions. The ground of our standing together is God's Word. And so we should stand together. And every single one of us, our lives, our conversation should shine. It should be fitting of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ can do what He did for us, is there anything we can't do for Him? The answer is no. Look here at Romans chapter number 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, again, and we've mentioned this before. I'm not trying to be repetitive tonight. But he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by what? The mercies of God. Every single one of us in here tonight have received mercies. We received it at the cross of Calvary. And we receive them every day. They're fresh. They're new every morning, the Bible says. Based upon those mercies, he says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Okay, let's look at another passage. Ephesians. Actually, before we get to Ephesians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So, we are to stand together. Our conversation should shine, it should be fitting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just for a few people in the church, that's for all of us. Every single one of us. Our lives ought to shine forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, what He has done for me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, excuse me, verse number 14. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Notice verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto who? Unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Okay, my life isn't mine anymore. It's his. By the way, it wasn't mine to begin with. It wasn't mine to begin with. He's my creator. He owned me from the beginning. But now as my Savior, He owns me twice. See, my life isn't mine. You know, we don't live unto ourselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. A little bit further, Ephesians chapter number 5. Our conversation should shine. And I understand when you make a statement like that, people will always come back and say, well, you just think your church should be pious and above everybody else. That's not what the Bible teaches. Yes, the Bible teaches that I am supposed to be a shining light, but it doesn't teach that I think just because I am a shining light that I'm pious or better than someone. But people always make that argument. Well, you just want everybody to be pious. You just want to be better than everybody else. No. I just want to do what my Savior told me to do, and He told me to be like Him. We are to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, if my conversation is truly right and what it ought to be, man, my heart is a heart of humility. It's not a pious heart. By the way, we'll get to that next week. We're to strive together, and we're to strive together with one mind. And what mind is that? It's the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It's the mind of humility, and it's the mind of obedience. You see, if my conversation is right, then we're going to strive together in one mind, and it's a mind of humility, not a mind of pride or piousness, if you want to use. By the way, that's not a bad word. We just make it a bad word. Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in, what's the word there? Love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Our lives ought to be a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. By the way, before we continue reading, would you turn back to chapter 3? Let me see. Look at verse number 13. Well, I tell you what, I was listening to a message this week in this passage. Boy, it pricked my heart. Look what this passage says. And I don't even know if I ever grasp everything this section is saying. Look at verse number 13. Or excuse me, let's drop down. We need to come back a little bit further. Okay, he's talking about the mystery in the first part of the chapter, and about the Gentiles or fellow heirs. And let's begin in verse 9. He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, notice this, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Whew. Do you know that we as the church, as the local New Testament body, are supposed to teach the angels and show them what the wisdom of God is? Now you stop and think about that one for a moment. And you think about the fact that in verse number 10, that we have principalities and powers in heavenly places who watch us to see the display of, or to see God's wisdom on display from us. That ought to be sobering. Am I constantly displaying the wisdom of God every day? If the principalities and powers in heavenly places are watching me as a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, are they seeing the wisdom of God on display every day? We're to stand together, and our conversation should shine. The wisdom of God in our lives should shine. Again, how do I know the wisdom of God? The foundation upon which we stand together is the Word. Go back to chapter 5. Verse number 3. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger nor unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to stand together. Our conversation should shine as becometh the gospel of Christ, fitting of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you number two. Number one, our conversation should shine. Number two, our character should be steadfast. Look what he says there in verse number 27. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And then notice the next phrase, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit. Our character should be steadfast, whether somebody's watching us, whether somebody's not watching us, whether the Apostle Paul was going to come and see the church at Ephesus again, or excuse me, the church at Philippi or not. He said, look, you are to be standing fast in one spirit. Doesn't matter who's watching me, because Christ is always watching. Doesn't matter who sees, because Christ always sees. And so number one, our conversation should shine. Number two, our character should be steadfast. And then let me give you number three, because I want to spend a little time here. Our character should be steadfast. And then number three tonight, our cooperation should be Spirit-filled. Our cooperation should be Spirit-filled. What does he say there in verse number 27? He says, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, and again, we'll look at that next week, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're to stand fast in one spirit. Our cooperation should be Spirit-filled. Take your Bibles and go back just a little bit to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mentioned this earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I said it earlier, the Spirit is not divided. He's not going to tell me something different from God's Word than He's going to tell you. Now, He may direct us and guide us in different ways because we're different personalities. We have He has different purposes for our lives, but God's Word is always God's Word. And He will never direct us in a different direction when it comes to God's Word than He directs someone else. That's why the Bible says that we're to try the spirits. We're to test and we're to see, okay, is what this individual saying, is it true to God's Word? I had you turn to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me get there real quickly. Verse number 4. The Bible says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities of gifts, but we still have the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Hey, we don't do Bible school the way everybody else does it. There are different administrations, but the same Lord. Verse number 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, and I don't want to read the whole passage. But for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And then he goes on and on speaking of the different gifts. But we are to stand together. Our cooperation is to be Spirit-filled. Because if it's not, we're not together. If I am not daily walking in the Spirit and yielded to the Spirit, then I'm not being as effective as I should be. And there are some days when I don't. There are some days when if you came and asked me, Pastor, are you completely yielded to the Spirit right now? I would have to be honest and say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I am, but I should be. I should be completely yielded to the Spirit every moment of the day. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 16. This is why. Because here's the truth tonight. If somebody tells you the Spirit told me to do this and it is contrary to the Word of God, then they're wrong. And they're not walking in the Spirit. The Spirit didn't tell them that. I was talking to a gentleman one time and we were talking about church attendance. And I asked him, I said, so will you be at church tomorrow? And he says, well, if God tells me to, I will. I said, well, God has already told you to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 20, God's already spoken. And he says, forsake not the assembly. He said, well, I may wake up in the morning and God may tell me to stay home. Okay, he might, but that God is called flesh. And that God is called self. My point is very simply, the Spirit isn't going to tell me something that's contrary to the Word. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. And that's why our foundation upon which we stand together is the Word. Look what the Bible says here in John chapter 16 and verse number 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Notice this. And this is where the charismatics get it so wrong. For He shall not speak of Himself. With the charismatics, it's all Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Listen, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit points people to Christ. He speaks of Christ. He points people, or He brings people to truth. He says He will not speak, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Notice verse 14. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. We are to stand together. Our conversation should shine. Our character should be steadfast. Whether Paul said, whether I come or whether I be absent, that you're standing fast in one spirit, and your cooperation should be spirit filled. Listen, that's why it behooves us to be walking in the Spirit. And let me just tell you this. I cannot walk in the Spirit if I'm constantly feeding my flesh. If I'm constantly feeding my flesh on the things of this world, I'm going to guarantee I'm not going to walk in the Spirit. I'm just not. Galatians chapter 5, read it. You have the fruit of the flesh and you have the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm constantly feeding my flesh. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about this skin. My skin likes to be fed. Or let me say that my body. And sometimes the things I eat have diminishing returns. You eat one Krispy Kreme donut? Hey, two's better. Two was good. Let me eat a third. Third's still pretty good, but you eat four, and that's not as good. Right? My body likes to be fed. I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about the flesh is the idea of that which drives our lust and that which drives us towards sin. And if I'm constantly feeding my flesh on things of this world and things that are filled with sin, I am not going to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to be yielded to the Spirit. And I'm not going to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We hear a lot today. We hear a lot today about praise and worship. So many people have in their mind that worship is just holding up our hands and it's singing a certain song five or six times. And that's worship. That's not biblical worship. Worship is not me raising my hands. Can music be a part of worship? Absolutely, it should be. By the way, I'll say something else that'll blow your mind. Brother Steve is not the worship leader. Boy, we've gotten that wrong too. But it's not for tonight. Worship is not raising our hands and singing a certain song that we love 7 or 8 times. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are songs that I really enjoy and I'll listen to them several times in a row. But let me tell you what true worship is. It's tomorrow. When I'm checking things on my phone and something pops up that I should not click on. You know what true worship is? True worship is, somebody said it, obedience. True worship is, Lord, I love you more than that. That's true worship. True worship is tomorrow, teenager, when everybody else at your school and everybody else in your class is disrespectful and toward your teacher, and maybe they come to school tomorrow and they're talking about their mom and dad and maybe what happened this weekend, something bad happened, and my mom and dad won't let me do this or my mom and dad won't let me do that. True worship is, you know what, I'm thankful for my mom and dad. I'm thankful for the mom and dad that God gave me. You see, true worship says, I love you more than I love whatever else the world, the flesh, and the devil can provide. And because of that, it affects my responses. And because of that, it affects my decisions. What did Samuel tell Saul in 1 Samuel 15? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. You see, true worship is obedience and reverence to Almighty God. We can worship anything. Anything that we give reverence or obedience to, we're worshiping. But the reverence and obedience should be for one person, and that's God Almighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, true worship does involve action, yes. But true worship isn't based upon an action. True worship is based upon the response of my heart. And so tomorrow when I see that pop across my screen, my flesh says, boy, that would be good to look at. But my worship says, I love you more. The world, the flesh, and the devil tomorrow says, you know what, if you want to get out of that discipline, just one little white lie would be okay, but worship says, I love you more. That's true worship. And by the way, that doesn't happen by feeding the flesh. That doesn't happen by filling my life with the things of the world. That happens when I say, Lord, your gospel is beyond what I can even fathom sometimes. And because of that, I want my life to become the gospel. Lord, you are deserving. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ, he broke the 10 commandments down into 2 commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And by the way, if you'll do that, then you'll do the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I'll love the Lord God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, I will respond properly with reverence and obedience. Let me add a third word, presence. I will constantly be in His presence. And that presence will demand reverence. And that reverence will lead me to obedience. Because I love Him more than whatever else the world, the flesh, and the devil lays before me tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you what, the world, the flesh, and the devil will lay a lot before you tomorrow. They'll lay a lot before your children tomorrow. And that's why we teach our children that we love Him more than we love any of this. We mentioned it Wednesday night. Look, the yes always has to be greater than the no. Well, Mom and Dad, why can't I do that? You're always just saying no, 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 no. Because there's a greater yes. We mentioned Wednesday night, and I'm done. It's about 10 after we're done. I mentioned Wednesday night, Adam and Eve in the garden. Only one requirement. You don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just one. Everything else you can do. Just one no. What was the greater yes? Fellowship. Because the Bible says he came in the cool of the day every day to fellowship with them. See, that was the greater yes. That's true worship. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship him in spirit and in truth. And so tomorrow when that pops up, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to say? Don't do that. You know you shouldn't do that. And so the Spirit and God's Word working in tandem. Boy, they guide me into all truth, don't they? And it constantly helps me to be reminded there's always a better yes than what the world, the flesh, and the devil offer. I mentioned it Wednesday night, and I'm sorry. I'll be done. But the relationship that I have with my wife is the better yes. That helps me to say no and helps me not to get angry at all of the other no's. No, you shouldn't look at that. No, 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 no. No, no, you shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be looking at that. Why? Because I have a better yes. And it's the relationship with my wife, and I don't ever want to do anything to harm that. Because you know why? I love being together with her. I love the togetherness that we have. Together. We stand together. Our foundation of that stance is God's Word. By the way, your home, y'all ought to stand together. And the foundation of that stand ought to be God's Word. Can I tell you tonight that the foundation of the stand of Maranatha Baptist Church is not what the Republican Party says, or not what the Democrat Party says, or not what the Independent Party says. It's what God's Word says. And that's where we stand together. And that's where we should stand together. We strive together. Strive. It means to put much effort and energy forth and able to contend. We strive together. And oh yes, we will suffer together. God help us to do so. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, would you help us to stand together? Every single one of us. Lord, may our conversation shine. Father, may our character be steadfast. Father, may our cooperation be spirit-filled. Father, we cannot have the greatest cooperation, the greatest unity, the greatest effectual working, the greatest effectiveness if we're not spirit-filled. If not all of us, if we're not all listening to the promptings of the Spirit, Father, we'll never be what we ought be. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us all tonight just to do a little inventory tonight. As a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, Lord, is my conversation, is my life, my conduct, does it become, is it fitting of the gospel of Christ? Lord, you're so worthy. Is it fitting of your gospel? Lord, is my character steadfast? Whether anybody is watching, whether someone important is around or not, whether absent or present, Lord, I want my character to be steadfast. And Lord, am I spirit filled? Lord, I want our cooperation. I want us to stand fast in one spirit. And Lord, we'll never have the unity that we need if we're not spirit-filled, if we're not standing fast in one spirit. So Lord, help us all with that tonight. Lord, I don't know hearts tonight. I don't know if anyone needs to move or what, Lord, but you do. And I pray that you'd help us in these moments to come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you would, if you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand your feet tonight. I am not going to prolong tonight, but I do want to give an opportunity. If you need to come and pray tonight, I want to give you opportunity to do so. If you want to just kneel right where you're at in your pew, Miss Pam's at the piano. She's going to begin to play. We're not going to prolong. But if you need to kneel where you're at, do so. Take inventory tonight, or better yet, allow the Holy Spirit to take inventory. How's our conversation tonight? Our conduct of life. Paul said, whether I'm absent or I come to see you, absent or present, I want to find you standing fast in one spirit. I'm thankful for the spirit of unity that has been such for these many years at Maranatha Baptist Church. And it's not because we're always perfect and always Spirit-filled. But I do believe that there's a heart's desire to walk in the Spirit. I do believe there's a heart's desire to be unified based upon the Word of God and based by standing fast in one Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, being yielded to the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to have His way in our midst instead of the flesh. Because the truth is, we can all get worked up in our flesh at times. But I'm thankful for the cooperation that many, many times, many, many more than not, the many times the cooperation is so Spirit-filled. Miss Pam will play one more verse. If you need to come, come. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention today, your attendance. It's always good to be in God's house, and I'm thankful for God's people and for our church family. Just so grateful for you. Let's pray tonight. Be dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night, 6:30 for Master Club. Brother Mac Bain, you pray for us. Now, let me say this. Let's pray for each other. We've good Sunday night crowd, but we've got a number of folks who are sick. The Jurdacks, or at least Brother Rick, I know, is he's got all of this stuff. And he's been really sick, and I know Miss Susan isn't feeling well either, and I'm sure there are others. But let's just lift each other up in prayer, especially this week. We had a full choir loft for practice tonight for the cantata, and let's pray that it's like that next Sunday with everybody being healthy. And so let's just pray for each other this week. Brother Mac, you pray for us, please.